your story. Fill up the pages. Sing a little song. Keep me around. Keep me with you. Right by your nightstand. Keep me around as long as you can.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back. You're here again. Welcome back to ADD Storytelling, a podcast in which we explore the myths and legends of our time, the past, and the future in no particular order, and sometimes with less than perfect focus. My name is Tucker, and I'm joined, as always, by our beautiful diaphanous, recently made-up host, Maddie.
Hi.
How's it going? Hi.
Hi, why'd you say that I'm recently made up? What do you mean by that?
Because you just spent the last few minutes intensely working on your makeup for this audio medium podcast that we're making. And I appreciate it, but I wanted to make sure the audience knows what was done. Because you put in effort. And unless I mentioned it, they would never know.
Yeah, I was kind of going for, like, the modern spin on the, like, 1920s, like, reporter with the red lipstick and the hat, you know? But I don't have a hat.
You're not wearing a hat, though.
But outside of the hat.
So you just did lipstick.
Yeah. Well, and also it's kind of like, there's mascara and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Good mascara.
Now I wish there was a hat in play, though.
Well, I don't have a fedora, even though those look really good on me.
I have many fedoras.
No, you don't.
You could borrow one of my many, many fedoras.
You have zero fedoras. Okay.
I have a stockpile of fedoras. What? You're urging me on? Is there something I need to say? Like, what are we talking about today? So what are we talking about today, Maddie? Huh? What are we talking about?
Okay, so today we're talking about, well, I actually got this idea from one of our friends about Haunted Georgia, so...
Cite this friend.
Jordan, our friend Jordan. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan.
And basically, Savannah is, like, a really haunted city, and, like, a lot of the South is, because, you know, horrible tragedies. Let's just say America could be fairly haunted, but
yeah.
Savannah, like, makes money off it. There's a lot of ghost tours and stuff. And I just wanted to do some, like, cheesy ghost stories, and then after that, we're going to talk about a slightly less cheesy topic, the Lake Lanier in Georgia as well.
Is that a haunted lake?
It's a haunted lake.
Is it spooky water?
It's spooky water, and there's a lot going on with it, like, historically as well.
Is it by any chance a bog?
No, it's a lake.
Damn, bogs are fun, though. A quagmire of sorts?
Yeah.
Really? But not a bog?
It's not really a quagmire.
Look, why did you say yes, then?
I don't know. I was just agreeing with you. I was yes-anding you.
All right.
Okay, and before we get started on today's episode, we need to have our very first listener feedback portion, which is very short, from episode 2, which is the Kitsune Foxes episode. My friend Maya, thanks Maya, speaks Japanese and has family in Japan, and she has mentioned to me that Kitsune is also just the word for a regular fox.
It's just a fox.
So you could be talking about a normal fox or a magical fox.
Which wouldn't make things confusing at all.
At any particular time. Fox-like stuff.
So is that to say that some of the foxes in those tales, you may have just inferred that they were magical? Those could have been normal foxes that whole time.
Well, the book was just titled Kitsune, so it could be foxes.
It's just a book of fox stories.
But they seemed magical to me. Anyway, and then that's taken care of. Thank you, Maya.
Glad we got that out of the way. Were you stressed about that?
No.
Okay.
And then now I have to list off, like, several sources of things.
Buckle up, everybody. We're about to cite sources.
So we've got GhostCityTours.com/Savannah.
Yeah!
We have www... I don't have to say that.
No, Savannah, you really don't.
/article/20081000.
No, we're not... Okay.
It's a very long link. I have all the hyperlinks, so if you want the extra specifics, you can email me. We've got CNN from 2009, Travel Ghost Hunting, SavannahTerrors.com.
That hard-hitting CNN news.
Two different stories, maybe from 11alive.com, visitsavannah.com, we got CNN.com, 2020, Lake Lanier, Urban Legends, blah, and we've got GainesvilleTimes.com.
The big stories of 2020 from CNN. Gainesville, Lake Monsters.
GainesvilleTime.com, History Center recounts tales about ghosts of Gainesville. And then the biggest thing is an actual book by Lisa M. Russell, who's a noted historian, and it's called Underwater Ghost Towns of North Georgia.
Hell yeah, now we've cited our sources.
Cool.
Great.
So...
Can't come at us now. We cited those sources.
I don't like it when you invite, like, aggression. It's like, why would you tempt fate? I don't get it. We're trying our best here, man. Still, the Google Doc has all the sources in it. I've got screenshots and stuff.
Anderson Cooper is going to come at you for stealing his ghost lake story.
So I'd like to start out with something a little bit lighter. Because we're...
Lighter than the lake ghost?
That's right. So since we're talking about little ghost stories, I thought we should have some advice from actual ghost hunters that spend their time hunting ghosts. So,
oh hell yeah.
So
Did you get Zach Bagans?
No.
Because his is just going to be... No shit!
He's on here.
Fuck me.
Okay, yes.
That's... horrible. I'm so excited.
So this is in the form of advice if you want to find your own ghost and or communicate with a ghost.
Yeah.
So don't know pixies.
Are you going to dramatically read them?
Yeah, and then you're going to react. Okay.
Okay. As the ghost?
No.
Damn.
Well, whatever. However you want to react.
I want to react as a ghost.
Okay. These are like 1, 2, 3, like 5-ish tips about catching ghosts, looking at ghosts, ghost communication, ghosty times.
Yep. Ghost leering.
So, the first one's from Garrett Moffat.
Fuck yeah. Love him.
And he says...
He sounds like a Muppet.
This is a direct quote. Nighttime is good for ghost hunting because of the absence of noise, people, and other distractions of the day. Helps your sixth sense stay in tune with your environment.
God, that's stupid.
That said, any time can be good, depending on who's doing the haunting.
Jesus, fuck. All right, undercut.
So any time is ghost time.
But nighttime is good. But really, any time. He has no convictions.
So, that's, you know, any time is ghost time. That's tip number one.
That's, wow.
Okay,
what a tip.
Tip number two. You should bring a tantalizing item for the ghost to be interested in.
So, like Santa? Treat ghosts like Santa?
Since... you just looking for them isn't really exciting for the ghost, right? You gotta draw them out. Aaron Goodwin says, if it's a kid, for example, bring a toy. Or if you're at a bank where there was a big heist, bring money from the era of the heist.
The fuck?
Talk about the item you bring, you know, to the air so the ghost can hear you.
Sorry,
tip number two.
Oh, god damn.
I don't understand why you're irritated. This is like gold. I love it
so
much.
It's really good, but I'm still upset. I'm upset. Why would you bring money?
This kind of stuff is the reason I wanted to do this.
Then you're just tricking the ghost into thinking you brought it money, but then it's non-corporeal ghost hands are going to reach for the money, and they're going to go through it. And also, how the fuck do you get money from a specific... Do you go to a bank and say, hey, I need some archived money? Why do you need this money for ghosting?
Well, you would probably go to a museum.
Oh, yeah, they're much more likely to give you money for ghosts.
Maybe if you're famous, you know, museum owners can be dazzled.
By ghost hunters? By Moffitt?
Well, this was Goodwin.
By fucking Moffitt and Goodwin.
Yeah.
They sound like ventriloquists.
Moffitt kind of does, but I like it. Okay. Tip number three. Bring a child with you and make sure you listen when they talk about imaginary friends.
Nope, I'm out.
So for your teachers out there, put on your teacher hat and pretend it isn't sarcasm. Yay.
For your teachers out there, don't take your students to look for ghosts.
Yeah, don't take your
kids aren't ghost tools.
Well, but maybe they're already in a haunted school.
I'm upset.
Maybe there would be an after-school club called Ghost Hunting. And then the teacher is there with a bunch of kids, and they're just trying to record ghost noises for, like, an hour.
The GSA? Ghost Student Army?
Yeah. Bring a child with you.
All right, which one? Was,
and this is Zach from... No. Wayne? Robert Edgerly says, adults walk around with blinders on. We've got so much on our minds. Children are open to everything. Wide open. They see things before we do. So use your children as bait to find ghosts.
Is this a separate person? Also children?
No, this is three different people. So that this tip is from Robert Edgerly, right?
He also already mentioned bring kids around to the ghosts.
That is the same tip. This is still tip number three. We have not moved to number four.
Okay, he's just rambling on and really digging into his.
Well, the first part is me summarizing, right? And then the second part was his direct quote.
You got to put more distance between you and them.
I said, literally, Robert Edgerly says,
that's
quote.
That's not distance enough.
Okay.
These goddamn ghost perverts.
All right. Whatever. Okay. Tip number four. Tip number four. Bring some cool recording equipment. Picks. Or it didn't happen. Picks or it didn't happen.
That was Zach Bagans, right?
No. Nick Groff from TV Ghost Adventures.
Nick Groff is Zach Bagans' boy.
Okay, well, they're both, the last two tips are from Ghost Adventures people.
God damn it.
So this one says,
yell at it. Demean it. Call it an idiot. And then try to fight it, even though it's a ghost. I'm Zach Bagans.
Nick Groff says, this is a quote.
Punch it in its stupid ghost head.
Digital recorders are a really good basic tool. Cheap ones are great because they generate white noise, which spirits speak with.
No, they don't.
EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, can be class A, B, or C.
Okay, yeah, this is an
class
audio...
Class A is so unbelievably clear you can easily make out the words. At our last location, we were asking questions and then replaying back some EVPs, and the spirits said our full names in clear voices actually responding to our questions.
What's really fun about that,
really
have, you watched, the show?
No, I
Every
haven't.
Time they play an EVP, it comes back and says, and then they put like subtitle, and all of them are like, oh, bro, yeah, bro, yeah, bro, and then they play it back, and then put a subtitle under it, so it's like, said my, Sarah is my cat. And it's just, it's that. They're like, wow, what an intelligent response. Let's fight it. And then they stay there all night and try to fight it.
Okay, I have no idea, but I'm not going to endorse any of your statements because I haven't seen this show. So whatever that
I've
you want.
I've watched a lot of it.
It's real good, though.
The show?
No, this article.
The show is also...
It's really funny.
It's
okay.
Terrible.
The thing is that he's saying, like, the spirits said our full names, responding to our questions. Like, that could just be, like, one guy in the background just, like, quietly whispering.
It's a fart that they pick up with their mics.
Tip number five. Know that you're literally trying to provoke spirits and it could get dicey. So, here's your man, Zach Bagans.
Don't you dare cut that out. He is not my man.
Okay, the guy that you were going on about earlier, Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, also says, and this quote is really good, so I'm just going to
read it in
its entirety. I don't know his voice.
Bro!
You want to read it?
Dude, just give me your best bro.
Okay, best bro, okay.
Your best bro boy.
You're not hunting rocks.
That's very good.
You're not hunting seashells.
This is actually spot on.
Provocation is very serious.
Who hunts seashells?
Things can follow you home. I've had to have my house blessed twice. In this season's premiere episode, I was overtaken by a dark entity. I suddenly wanted to attack Aaron and I started breaking our equipment. I don't remember it, and watching the video was very disturbing. I don't mess around with this stuff.
That's actually pretty damn close.
Except, of course, he does, because that's his whole job, is to be on this show.
I've done like 19 seasons of messing around with this.
So.
And also, who on God's green earth hunts seashells? You can collect them.
Well, so he's saying, he's obviously comparing his very serious job of hunting ghosts with hunting rocks or seashells and how they're not the same. And that's the beginning of his very interesting quote.
Who on this beautiful creation that God made that we call Earth has ever hunted a seashell?
You do. You do at the beach.
You collect them? You can look for them?
Well, you kind of put them, you should put them back because environment. But, you know, take only pictures. That's what they say. Leave no trace.
Return them to the beach on which you found them.
Anyway, so that was to get you in the mood with five ghost tips from real ghost hunters who are out there every day.
I gotta tell you,
fellow Americans.
I am in the mood now. That did it.
I love it. Okay.
That lit the spark. I feel like I'm there. I smell BO. It's dark. And somewhere, one of these people has a kid with them. We are in the zone. Zach, did you bring the boy?
I got the boy.
All right, we're ready to hunt some ghosts. Did you bring our fancy equipment?
Got the boy, got our fancy equipment.
Oh, the boy is fiddling with the knobs again. Get that boy. Someone put the boy away. Can we bring a backup boy?
So, Savannah is super haunted. They have a bunch of haunted buildings. There's, like, lists, like, the 10 most haunted or the 15 most haunted, and...
Brought to you by History Channel.
You know, obviously it's in the colonial South, so there's a lot of, like, really sad, depressing stories where ghosts could be like, yes, I'm a ghost, I resent the horrible things that have been done to me. And they make a lot of use of that in all these ghost tours. And I don't know any of them, and I can't recommend any to you.
Would you say that they're just, like, capitalizing on past trauma?
Oh, 100%.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can't think of any to promote, then.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, the Savannah ghost, like, when you look up Savannah, then, like, the main ghost stories that come up, you know, there's the haunted cemetery that has soldiers, you know, and when you go in the cemetery, there's, like, a roll call and drums or whatever.
Civil War soldiers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who cares about them? They're probably Confederate.
Whoa! Yeah, probably.
I mean, if they're Confederate, I don't care about them.
Yeah.
But.
Hot take, but fair.
Also, there's, like, a haunted square where, like, someone got hanged at one point and they're hanging around.
Oh,
and they
did.
Like a, there was like a BuzzFeed Unsolved where they went into that and I didn't watch it. So there's lots of stuff that I was just like, okay, there's a lot. I'm just going to pick what I like and I'm going to read the really fun ones. Okay, so I found two, there are two places that I found where I'm like, these are fun stories and, you know, there's nothing backing them up except for the people that say it. And that's the kind of shit that I love is it's like people telling you a story that they saw and you can like really believe it because they really believe it. It's fun. So the first one is from the Moon River Brewing Company.
Oh, perfect. That's yeah. There's no one that's more inscrutable than someone that saw a ghost in a brewing company.
And here again, we have the return of my last name, Lewis. Christopher Lewis,
all over this place,
has been the operations manager at the beer pub for 4 years and strongly thinks that ghostly spirits haunt the 187-year-old four-story building. He's had many close encounters with the spirits. So this is like him. These are his stories, all right?
Did he bring a boy?
So, oh, by the way, the title of this article was something like, Look Out for Flying Bottles, Ghosts at Moon River. So,
is that going to come back up? Are there flying bottles in this story?
Well, yeah. So he says, Christopher Lewis says, I've been sitting in my office before and I had bottles thrown at me off the shelf.
Maddie,
I've
told
seen
me
shadows walking by and I heard little kids playing that aren't really there.
Whoa, you told me right before we started recording there would be no chance for me to use a southern accent in this
episode. I
said
I didn't
know. Then you just go and throw one in?
I said I didn't know. Well, do you want to do it?
No.
You can do
you
it.
You took this from me.
You can. We'll just.
You know, you took it from me. It's fine.
We can just re-record
it's
it.
Fine.
And you can.
No, it's down. Just go. Just go with your tail. Spin your yarn.
Okay. Anyway, so that's one thing that they throw the bottles around, which could get really expensive in a brewery, to be honest, because that's you know your livelihood. And then they have a ghost. They named him Toby.
Toby.
And Toby haunts the billiard room, like in Clue, the movie.
Wow.
And,
that's fun.
He, like, pushes you out of the way.
Oh.
And he likes to play tricks on people. Oh. He's like a nasty little poltergeist.
Nasty tricksy Toby.
And then on the third floor, there's a lady in white that people have seen.
There's always a lady in white.
Oh, this is the most generic ghost. Every... Lady in white.
God damn, that's boring.
And she was caught on video when the Sci-Fi Channel Ghost Hunters were there to track
Fuck
paranormal
yeah.
activities.
Good job, Zach.
And then he's like...
Do the voice.
Well, you do it now.
All right.
This one.
I don't like being alone here.
You forgot the beginning part of the sentence. But okay.
You were pointing at that. All right, let me see what you
I was pointing at the sentence. Right.
So Zach Bagans said, at night, this is a pretty creepy place. I don't like being alone here.
No, that was Lewis.
Damn it. Where's it at?
Okay. Also, Chase Harding, a bartender at the brewery, says two workers had an encounter one busy Saturday night. They watched a girl walk through the back door and up to the bar. She started out all fuzzy and then got clearer as she got closer and seemed to fade out towards the background.
It's just chunking people at a bar. Seeing people wandering around.
No, but the limbs became fuzzy. Yeah. It was like see-through limbs. And then she looked like she was going to order the drink and then, boo, disappeared.
You know, like when you drink so much that it hurts to look at things and your sight starts to go away. Everyone's a ghost. If you drink enough, everyone can be a ghost.
Right.
Why do you drink the way you do? I won't make ghosts in my brain. I won't make ghosts.
So the reason this building could be haunted is because it was originally the first hotel, the City Hotel. Very bland name.
Kick-ass name.
Built in 1821. Closed in 1864. And then used as a coal warehouse and then an office supply store. And then in 1979, Hurricane David just, like, took the roof off of it. And then it sat empty for, like, 15, 16 years. And then a brewery took over.
Was it really empty? And began major renovations.
Right.
It was full of ghosts that whole time, right? And coal.
Yeah, so the brewery before this brewery was trying to fix it up, but then they couldn't because there were too many ghostly encounters to continue in construction, so they just, like, stopped. And then in 1999, Moon River Brewing Company opened the doors and is now still operating. So. Haunted old
hotel. So they had,
like,
a building inspection, and it didn't pass on account of ghost.
Well, that's not what I said. I said the construction was halted from ghostly encounters. So you're just wildly speculating.
Yeah, I am. I do a lot of that. Especially when you're... What is this episode, if not wild speculation?
That's what it is. Yeah. Also, it's really raining outside.
It's nice.
We're going to have ambience, like, only for this episode.
No, in the Kitsune episode, you could hear the fire. And then I blew everyone's eardrums out with that cheers. That's ambiance.
Okay.
And then in the last episode...
I might have cut that out.
I listened to it. Last episode on Umi Bozo, the ambiance was your yawn.
So that's the Moon River Brewing Company.
They should rename it to the Moon River Booing Company.
Booing Company?
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be pretty good.
Are you sure I'm not pregnant? Because that was a dad joke.
Jesus Christ.
I'll cut that out. If you don't think it's funny, that's fine.
No, that's good. That's good.
Your reaction was not very encouraging, so I'm just going to say...
I really liked it. It was a gut punch kind of show.
Why is it a gut punch?
I don't know.
Because it's, like, physically impossible for me to be pregnant, like, four times over?
Hit in a weird way. I like it, though.
I'll think about whether or not to cut it out. Okay. Moon River Brewing Company. So that's the first one. Now, the second one is the Marshall House. This is like another old building. Whatever. Yeah. It was originally built by Mary Marshall to accommodate travelers. It's in a bustling part of town, which needs more accommodations due to foot traffic and things like that. So she builds the hotel. Yay.
When?
Like, in the 19th century, like... They said what year, and then I didn't write it down because I didn't think it was important.
Classic CNN reporting.
And then... the building was occupied by Union soldiers from 1864 to 65, and periodically as a hospital for wounded or ill soldiers until the end of the Civil War. I actually don't know how long the Civil War was anymore. That was a date thing. Do you know that? You don't know either. That's fine.
It's fine.
History is cool. I know it happened.
It sure did. I think it was 60... I thought it went to, like, 69? Nice.
Okay. So there's various little ghost
stories.
Civil
War. How long? Oh... 61 to 65.
Okay, so the end of
4 years.
Hey. Okay, whatever.
I guessed correctly.
No, you said 5.
I said... damn it. Damn it. Well, world, you got me again.
Okay. So there are various little ghost stories that a few different websites have said happened in the Marshall House. So there was one story on Reddit, which, yeah, I know.
Oh, hell yeah. You didn't cite that source.
Well, I'm citing it now. It's from Reddit. It said that renovations in the 90s were delayed by a horrific smell coming from the ripped up floors on one level of the building. Do you want to guess what it smelled like?
I want to say potpourri.
Not potpourri.
It could have been potpourri.
I'll give you another guess.
Okay. Axe body spray.
That is pretty bad. Do you want to know?
I guess that wouldn't make sense with the timeline. That was more of a early 20-aughts than 90s. What's like a smell that featured big in Frasier? Chairs. Old chairs that men have sat in for long periods of time. Was that the smell?
Old leather-bound books. Like
No, just leather-bound armchairs.
Really expensive Seattle coffee.
Jazz? Was it the smell of jazz?
No, it was the smell of rotting flesh.
Ah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the
smell was so bad that
Frasier's
they had to...
Frasier's dad's chair could have been made of human flesh. We don't know.
Ew.
It looked like it.
No, it didn't.
It kind of did. That chair's in a museum now. It's a haunted chair.
Is it a Seattle museum?
Nope.
I can't imagine that anyone other than Seattle would still care about Frasier. How many decades has it been?
Yeah, they're rebooting it.
Oh my gosh.
They may have, you know what? I may have misspoke. I think they gave it to a charity.
I should smack you in the face. Like, figuratively. Okay. Not literally. Anyway, the smell was so bad, they had to stop whatever they were doing to try to get rid of it with chemical means. So they tried, like, a bunch of different deodorizers, and none of them worked.
Did they, before trying to just get rid of it with chemicals, did they investigate whether or not a body was decomposing? You know, that kind of takes precedence here.
Okay, so there's two different sites have different conflicting sources.
One of them is Reddit.
No, I think one of them's the website about the Marshall House. Anyway, so... Option number one, the smell disappeared after they played gospel music by it. And they had to keep playing gospel music in order for the smell to not return. That's option number one. Option number two, they had it cleansed by a spiritualist. One website said they were renovating the floorboards when they found human remains. After the scene was investigated, historians came to believe that it was a pile of amputated limbs from Civil War soldiers that were under the floorboards.
Still stinking in the 90s?
I didn't
Did you
say
just
it
say
was the
experts
90s.
Said?
Oh, yeah, it is the 90s.
Experts said that?
I said historians.
Historians said that the smell in the 90s...
They found human remains under the floorboards in this
That loved
person.
Gospel music.
And then historians postulated that these human remains
were
could just
Civil
be
War.
A pile of amputated human limbs from the Civil War.
I mean... If they're wrong, you say postulated like that, like it's just kind of a fun question.
Well, that's what the article said, so then I said that.
But they were dead, they were limbs in this
They
building,
said
right?
historians believe.
Doesn't that kind of open the door for, like, a criminal investigation?
Yeah, so as I said, it's like you're not even listening. After the scene... was investigated. The crime scene. There was a crime scene because they found human remains at a construction
I'm sorry,
site.
I was
obviously,
derailed because
obviously,
apparently in the course of this criminal investigation, they're just playing gospel music at it. Gospel music at the smell.
No, that was the other conflicting story. There are conflicting
There's
stories.
There's so many stories going around
There's
here.
Literally only two options.
Gee, that's far too many than I need.
It's hard to pay attention when you're not the one talking.
No. It's hard to pay attention when it's stink smells getting quelled with gospel music. My brain just focused in on that, and then I actually thought about Frasier again for a minute or two. And now we're here, and I thought the no criminal investigation was opened.
Okay, is everyone clear about what happened here?
Not at all.
Listeners, are you clear?
Yeah,
you not
yeah,
clear?
Yeah,
everyone's good. Let's just assume you said yes, because I
can't
hear
you.
Rain,
how you doing?
Never mind that this was before.
It's wet.
Okay. So, also, few websites claim the guests of the hotel have heard ghostly children running up and down the halls.
Is this like a website like Yelp?
Yeah, like the tourist websites for Savannah to get people to go there. So, this is the kind of story we're telling right now.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, so, or children's toys like marbles or rubber balls echoing down the hallway.
Classic Civil War fare.
Though the hall is always empty when you, like, peek out your peephole, or when you open your little door and you look down the hallway and you're like, where are all these rangy children I'm hearing? And there's no children there.
What are these mud boys doing?
What are these, yeah, what whatever.
Are they rolling around the halls?
They also report electronics and
that
faucets.
That small boy just punched the bellhop. Oh, never mind, he's translucent. Oh, TripAdvisor's gonna hear about this.
I was really hoping, like, I did look at TripAdvisor, and I was really hoping to find some really esoteric review about people who had seen ghosts, and I just saw a bunch of them, like, super cool hotel, didn't see any ghosts, though.
They didn't serve fish past 9:30. 2 stars.
I was like, darn, I was really hoping for some,
my hand towel smelled like Axe and Frasier.
Like, maybe if
Three
I was
stars.
Really patient and if I had gone through the 70 pages of reviews, that would have been better, but I didn't do
that. I thought you were a researcher, Maddie.
I looked through, like, 15 pages and I got bored.
I'm sorry, I thought you did research on this episode.
I did. Okay. So, electronics and faucets turn on by themselves in this hotel. Also, in the fourth floor hallway, loud noises tend to occur during the early morning hours, like a heavy object crashing.
That sounds kind of convenient, like... If you walk into a room and a ghost is like, need some water, pops the faucet on. Y'all want to watch Seinfeld? Pops the TV on. Here's
also,
some popcorn.
Here's a more disturbing one. Like the doorknobs jiggle, like someone's trying to get in, but then they don't see anyone on the other side of the door.
Well, that's just people having fun.
It's creepy. Anyway.
That's just a cool, quirky neighbor.
Also, this is a story that was on like their, one of the websites.
Hell yeah.
That I sorted before. Mm-hmm. A child reported to her father that she saw the original owner of the hotel, Mary Marshall, standing in the hallway after looking at Mary's portrait in the lobby. So, they looked at the portrait in the lobby, and then the little kid's like, look, Dad, a ghost lady. It was the lady in the painting.
They brought along a boy, and they saw a ghost.
Yeah, the child.
It's backing up that...
The dad brought the child.
Muppet Man's theory.
Never mind that they have to take their kid with them. But whatever.
So Dad was just staring at this portrait for, like, an exorbitant amount of time, searing the image of this woman into his eyes, probably, like, 6 deep after leaving the hotel bar, and then turned and just is kind of just seeing more, like, projecting what he'd been staring at.
The dad didn't
and then
see
his
it. He
like,
said the child
saw it. I see a fun lady, Dad.
The boy saw it?
The child. And it was a girl, I think.
I see the word boy.
It says a child.
What boy?
Okay, yeah. That's a different story. You're just reading ahead and you don't know. Okay, second child story.
Yeah!
Involves a mom and a son who stayed at the hotel. The boy came out of the bathroom crying. When the mom asked what was wrong, the kid said, the boy bit me. And
what
then
boy?
Yeah, exactly. She says, what boy? And then he's like,
why
boy.
You got those wet eye orbs over here? You got bit by the boy in the bathroom there?
The boy I was playing with in the bathroom.
Oh,
that's what he said. And then
scamp.
The mother quickly checked the bathroom to find no other boy, but she did see a bite mark imprinted on the boy's arm, which would have been pretty impossible for the boy to give himself unless he was some sort of contortionist.
Just sees a little ghost boy scurrying down the toilet.
And she was apparently told that other children have gotten bitten by ghost children.
No big deal.
Child-sized bite marks.
Who told her? Was that like at the front desk? Here's your key. Here's
the article did not mention
complimentary toothpaste.
It just said people.
Just
told
so
her.
You know, your small child might be bitten by a ghostly apparition tonight. Be on the lookout. That mostly happens in the bathroom when the child's alone. If you need anything else, the front desk is open till 3 a.m. The ghost boys like to bite when it's dark. And we can send extra towels up to you at any point.
Man, you're really going off this episode.
Yeah, I like ghost boys.
Or maybe you just had too much coffee.
I had one cup of coffee.
It was
I
too
didn't
strong.
Get bit by a ghost boy.
Okay.
I got a good night's rest.
Those are my fun, creepy stories. Those are the ones that I liked. There are plenty of other ones in Savannah, I'm sure. If you live in Savannah...
Nope, that's it. That's all Savannah's got. We tapped it out.
If you live in Savannah and you have a favorite one that you want to send me, feel free to email it to addstorytellerer@gmail.com. So, it's storyteller, not storytelling. Yeah.
Try both, though. See what happens.
Don't. addstoryteller@gmail. Okay.
But go ahead and try both.
So, this is ad break time.
Ad break. 3, 2, 1. Barrels.
We're switching topics now. So we're going to the lake. Lake is most of the stuff.
We're going to the lake?
Okay. Yep, we're going to the lake.
Woo!
So we're talking about Lake Lanier now.
Boy! Going to the lake!
I think Georgia has like 6 lakes and none of
them... That's it.
...are natural. They're all man-made lakes.
Siri, how many lakes do Georgia have? Well, the first thing that comes up is titled, More Legs, More Problems, Centipedes and Millipedes in Georgia.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, we have our next episode topic.
Ew, no. Lake Lanier. It was built by people. It did not exist before. So, Lisa yes. Russell describes the community impact of the construction of this lake in her book, Underwater Ghost Towns of North Georgia. Lake Lanier is built on land that was owned by a large community of subsistence farmers, many of whom were either indigenous Americans or people of color. The government assured landowners that they were being paid fairly.
And they followed through?
For the full value of their land, but it's hard to weigh that against the pressure to move and the roots of generations.
Wow, I feel like that's a very diplomatic way of saying the government probably fucked them over, right?
I mean, they're just like they're just like people that are poor, they live off what they grow.
Uh-huh.
So when the government offers you... like, thousands of dollars to, like, move, mm-hmm. you're like, maybe I can live off of this money, because they're not really, they don't really have large sums of money, so that's kind of a thing, but there's, like, a lot of, so many farmers felt that no amount of governmental fairness could make up for the priceless value of their own land and homestead.
Government so, fairness, the real ghost story.
Of course, many were happy to get a large sum of money all at once. They usually relied on their land to sustain them.
What'd they grow?
You know, just food.
Oh.
To eat.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then over time, many came to feel shortchanged. The money didn't really last like they thought, or they hadn't the experience to manage such a large sum and kind of break even in the future. So they thought they could maybe last for a long time.
So they haunted the lake.
Not so much.
Damn it.
I'll get to the creepies. Anyway.
The creepies.
Well, we're talking about the community impact of making this lake right now.
But that's not spooky. That's just sad.
Well, it's interesting, so we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the creepies.
Sweet.
In the lake.
In the lake?
Yeah.
Where are the creepies?
So, one man, J.P. Gaines, gave up his 229 acres for $18,000, land that his family had owned
Gaines
since
making gains!
1911. This translates to about $162,000 modern times. Wow. However, Henry Shadburn, the first person to sign his farm over to the government for the Lake Lanier project, got about $4,100 for his 100 acres, which is about $36,798 in modern cash.
Did you watch... What?
So these are roughly in the same area, so I'm not sure why the rate between the two properties would be different. Like, Shadburn got about $368 per acre for his land, while Gaines received $707 per acre for his land, still. So...
There will be a test at the end of this episode, too. So...
And I'm a math teacher, so I did the rates. Duh. But even still, Gaines was like...
Thank you.
Gaines told the local newspaper, I just don't like it. Like, he's referring to the dam. It may be good for some folks, but it's bad for me and my wife.
Did he get quoted as saying, damn that dam?
That's funny. No, I don't think so.
It's not funny if you had to say that.
The difference in their prices made me curious, so I did a little cursory Google search on landandfarm.com.
Oh, god damn it.
And Flowery Branch, which is 5 miles west of where Gaines sold this property, had 3 properties for sale. Okay? And... well, bear with me, okay? This, I think, is interesting. So...
You lost me and I went to farms.com.
Landandfarm.com.
Oh, that's much better.
So, 2.93 acres is selling for $300,000 right now.
Kick ass.
And 2.6 acres is $350,000.
That's a different number.
And 50 acres... is selling for $1,820,000. If these people were able to keep their land or even be relocated to, like, right outside their land originally was, Gaines's family would have been able to sell their land for something like $8,000 an acre.
Maddie,
right? In modern times right now.
If they'd kept their land, they wouldn't be featured on this primetime podcast. We wouldn't be talking about them.
Well,
so
we could talk about successful reparations.
We are not having an episode.
That's what just we could
about,
talk about.
Oh,
we
mean,
could have
reparations,
talked about that.
That's a good. That would be a fine topic. But we're not just going to have an episode titled "People That Kept Their Farm and Now Have a Little Bit More Money Than If They'd Sold the Farm in 1912."
No, they would have made like five times more money. Like it was, he got it for 707 in modern time. Acre. That's much money per acre, and he had like almost 300 acres. No, sorry, he had 229 acres, and he could have sold it for $8,000 an acre instead of 700,
wow.
Which is insane.
This wow.
You're not interested, but it's a great injustice. I don't understand how you're not interested in this.
Because if you start with ghosts, and we get to real estate, I'm gonna feel sad.
We're going to end with ghosts, too, okay? Just be patient.
It's like a
Lake Lanier. Lake Lanier is interesting. Okay.
It's the strangest Oreo. Ghost real estate ghost.
This is about the building project of Lake Lanier. Another historical loss, because of course there are many, was Van's Tavern. The original tavern was built around 1805 by a Cherokee named James Van. So it overlooked the Chattahoochee River, which is now what dammed up to create Lake Lanier, okay? So they deconstructed the tavern, and they rebuilt it in New Ekota, which is an extinct village that was once the capital of the Cherokee Nation in 1956.
Is that in Georgia?
Yes. Okay. The Cherokee Nation and is, like, near this area.
Okay.
Or it was when they were doing this. There's, like, a general uneasiness about this lake-building project, which we're building up to the creepiness, right? So not only is there this injustice, right, on the foundations of it, where they're taking land from poor people, and they're like, this is enough money, and it didn't end up being enough money. They also were, like, asking people questions, like the Gainesville Daily Times ran a Q&A in 1954, which showed a general uneasiness, right? So, it's called Frequent Damn Puzzlers Listed, which,
wait,
I don't understand
the
way that people make article titles, but that's
Frequent
what it is.
Frequent Damn Puzzlers Listed?
That's the article title.
That rules.
So, there's three questions. First one, what will you do about malaria preventions?
Can you we can ditch spray several things. We send in special crews. You won't be any worse off than if you are now.
We don't have any mosquitoes right now.
Oh, well, you're gonna. Oh, that's the question?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if you get any and we'll stop them.
What will be done about graveyards?
Oh, you're gonna have a bunch. The nearest of kin is notified and asked to name a new site for the grave. The government moves everything from a cemetery. Cats, bodies, bits of hair. Unknown graves are removed by court order. The government will not flood a cemetery.
Okay.
You can trust us.
It doesn't really give me a lot of confidence that they didn't even know whether or not the area had mosquitoes.
I'm not even sure what a graveyard is.
It's just, I don't know, whatever.
Y'all got bugs?
Lots of drama, getting the site, all that. Okay, and then there was a whole political tiff about who they're going to name this fake lake after, which is now it's a real big lake, but it's not a man-made lake. And Russell goes into it, but eventually they named it after the guy who wrote the poem, The Song of the Chattahoochee.
We should name it after that boy that keeps biting people in the bathroom.
So,
hell yeah, I love that boy.
So, in its entirety.
Boy bit me again.
Lake Lanier claimed more than 56,000 acres, and more than 700 families were displaced to finance the project. So
the way that was worded, it sounded like the lake killed those acres.
But they flooded them.
I know. I understand what was going on, but just the little...
If you wanted to read Russell's book, which has a bunch of underwater lakes like this,
underwater towns in lakes,
there we go.
Like flooded man-made lakes.
It also has a bunch of creepy black and white photos of things left behind to be submerged, so there's like a car racing track, whose grandstands famously resurfaced during the drought in Georgia in 2008. A cider stand that looked like it was ready for business, like it still had bottles there and everything.
Are these photos of these structures under the water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was
a
river mill, homes with like front porches, and then men just like fishing in the undammed river.
There's men down there?
Before they used to, you know, the one that was there before they flooded it, yeah.
The man that was there?
No, the river. The river.
Oh, it's not a photo of the man under the water.
No. The men were fishing in the river that used to be before it became a dam.
Okay.
Yeah. And here we get to the creepies. That's the history of the lake. And there's reasons why there could be creepiness.
Malcontent.
Whatever. So,
this water's got a grudge.
Lake Lanier has a long history of being a place of injuries and deaths.
Tell us more about that.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported in May of 2017...
Good name.
...that since 1994, that's when my sister was born, at least 160 people have died on the lake.
That's when your sister was born, that's when Kurt Cobain died. Coincidence?
In 2016 alone, Lake Lanier saw 17 deaths, which is crazy.
That's a fuckload of death.
DNR spokesman...
How? Were they, like, drownings?
Like, drownings, like, accidents.
Mosquitoes?
Maybe. I have no idea.
The jury's still out on whether or not they got mosquitoes.
Spokesman Mark McKinnon said, "There are simply more incidents on Lanier due to the volume of visitors. It has more visitors than any other lake in Georgia." So whenever they have someone who is injured or has died in Lake Lanier, they call in divers from the local fire department. So here's what one diver who does things has to say about Lake Lanier. So during a rescue call, these divers work in pairs, with one submerged and the other underwater. So they're connected by a rope around the waist, which
submerged
is...
Submerged and underwater. Are they both submerged then?
Oh, sorry, above water.
That's called unmerged.
Unmerged. So one submerged and the other one out of water, connected by a rope around the waist. So they communicate by rope tugs, which is very like...
Okay, this can't be a modern thing, right?
No, this is a modern thing.
That's so stupid.
So they say they never really know what they're going to find. Unfortunately, a lot of times they're looking for someone who has lost their life, and divers say they mainly do it so that the families can feel a sense of closure. So that's very sweet.
Can use a radio.
This is where some conflicting information comes in from different sources. CNN stuff and also 11 Alive stuff, and maybe both are true, and it's just kind of, like, incomplete.
I'm diving down, and I discover dead dudes. I'm the D-D-D-D.
So the firefighter person on 11 Alive said that it was originally created, like the lake, as a water resource for power and stuff rather than recreation.
Like hydroelectric?
Yeah, like a dam for hydroelectric power and like a water resource for like fresh water and stuff instead of being like a recreational lake.
And the dam craves human blood. Is this the CNN story?
But an article from the Gainesville Daily Times that Russell sourced from 1954 says otherwise. There was another Q&A. And then the cue is like,
sweet.
How do folks who now have reservoirs feel about them?
Well, the Cartersville News Tribune in a recent editorial reported that citizens were pleased with the lake. It was quite wet, they said. There'll be public camps and picnic grounds, swimming beach and boating facilities, a lodge, overnight, and vacation cabins, and many other such projects for recreations, and plenty of bathrooms.
One source says they didn't plan it for recreation. Another source says they were planning to use recreation.
Jacuzzi.
Officially, as in per CNN, to prepare the area for submersion, like flooding, the Army Corps of Engineers demolished or moved anything they considered dangerous. So they uprooted trees and they hauled them away. Barns and wind structures that could float. The bleachers from the grandstands that came up, they took those off.
You gave it a spooky name. That was fun.
Watercraft and stuff. And then major infrastructure such as bridges and water intakes were relocated.
I really enjoyed that. That was spooky and on brand for the episode.
What did I do? I don't know what you're talking about.
For the Army Corps of Engineers? You said the Army Corps. That's fun.
It says corpse.
It's the Corps.
What do you mean?
It's pronounced Corps.
C-O-P?
Yeah.
S is pronounced Corps.
Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry I didn't know that. I don't care about the military.
It's not the military. Maybe it is. I actually don't know jack shit about what
they do. It says Army Corps of Engineers. I don't know where they are from or what they do.
I think they just build things. I think that's, like, the group that builds, like, bridges and, like, daycares.
Okay, I'm not a building wizard. I have no idea.
That's what... Yeah, they're building wizards.
Yeah, totally. This diver that was speaking to 11 Alive was like, apparently... When they originally filled the lake, they did so up to, like, public pool level and then stopped filling it for a bit.
What? Is that a standardized metric? Public pool level?
Yeah, it is standardized.
No shit?
It's, like, 8 to 11, 8 to 12 feet.
Oh.
Something like that.
Well, fuck me. All right.
It's, like, a thing that's, like, a general, like, people follow that. So, anyway, they filled it to that level, and then construction crews went over the lake and cut down trees to about halfway down so that a lot of the stumps are still there.
That's like Rattlesnake Lake up here.
They didn't uproot every tree. They cut some down.
Well, some of them, you don't want to.
And then he mentions there's still a lot of debris left over from destruction, submergence, and then also like the hundreds of boat accidents that have happened. So like tons of boat accidents.
So flippant.
There's so many boat accidents and
we
whatever.
We just can't get our shit together.
Whenever there's a drought, the town underneath starts to resurface sometimes. And it makes it easy to hit one of these things that's been submerged.
It's real spooky looking. Because
the lake lowers, right? The lake lowers in a drought.
It does tend to do that. It probably lends itself to more boating accidents.
Yeah.
As they crash into stumps and shit.
Yeah, it's bad.
They're already having trouble when the lake's at a normal height. Gratuitous amount of boating accidents.
I don't know why that's funny.
I don't know either, because it's probably not, but okay. It kind of is.
So, anyway, since this lake is both creepy, uneasy, and dangerous.
I don't know if it's the lake's fault.
There's some quality stories that have been popping around Lake Lanier, right? So my favorite one is a chicken truck dumped its load into the lake.
Okay.
And the catfish grew fat. So now there are rumors of giant
catfish.
That's
the best sentence I have ever heard. Can we get it one more time?
The catfish grew fat.
No, not that.
Oh, so sorry. A chicken truck dumped its load into the lake and the catfish grew fat.
Can that just be the name in this episode?
Now there are rumors of catfish as big as Volkswagens under the water near a bridge.
That's
the
much
lake.
Better because initially you said wolf wagons. Volkswagen. And I'm horrified.
Volkswagen.
Wolf wagon sized catfish.
Volkswagen. So car sized catfish are apparently in this lake.
I mean, that's within the realm of possibility. Catfish can get fucking huge. The thing that I don't believe is that these catfish grew big when the chicken truck dumped its load into the lake.
That's local lore for you there.
That's local lore local about lore. Chicken dumps.
So
that would just make the lake stinky and full of feathers.
Yeah, well, anyway.
That's what a chicken load will
do. So yeah, more realistically than the car-sized catfish, the government probably wasn't able to move all of the human remains left in the lake.
Thanks, Obama.
So there's a popular TikTok speaker that kind of blew up lately. They're username is Black Belt Babe, as in black belt for
karate?
Martial arts, and then babe as in a babe.
No, it's more like the pig movie.
I don't know.
Pig movie.
And they have like tons of stuff about Lake Lanier, like telling you to avoid it, and also the historical background that is probably also from this book that I read, but and some additional research that they've done about like the impact of, you know, like pushing lower income families out of areas to fund government projects and things like that. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, you could follow them on TikTok. I don't TikTok because I'm too old, so whatever.
She physically can't log on to it.
Yeah. They reposted an image of what creepily looks like a human foot submerged in the lake. So I watched it, and it looks very much like a human foot that's just right next to the water's edge.
Question.
Underneath there.
Is it a victim of a boating accident?
No idea.
I mean, once again.
She just, like, they just said. Into on, that. They just said on their thing. I can't confirm what that is, because it's just a video, obviously.
I don't expect Black Belt Babe to do it, but someone should.
Someone should.
Someone probably should, because yeah. That's just a video of a corpse.
I mean, it was a foot. It was creepy looking.
Foots are usually connected
also,
to corpses.
Okay, maybe it could have been a stump that looks like a foot, but it looks like a foot. Or something. Who knows? But, so even though that foot can't
I'll
be confirmed.
I'll make that the cover of this week's episode.
So even though it can't be confirmed that video that I saw was actually a foot, it can be confirmed that possible remains could be there. So this one guy named
what the fuck,
Yabor, Yabor told CNN, this is a
wait, what's the name?
Yabor?
Sweet.
Yabor?
Yabor.
Yeah. So he told CNN, the technological capability to identify and verify unmarked burial sites through subsurface scanning or by other means was far less robust 70 years ago when they built this lake.
No shit, you boar.
So,
I mean, I'm gonna have to give you that one.
While the core, or corpse...
It's core. It's definitely core, but no, but for this episode, it is corpse.
...made every effort at the time to locate unmarked burials, the limited capabilities of the time make it probable that unanticipated finds of human remains are possible, whether from the antebellum and Civil War periods or of Native American origins from pre-colonial and ancient times. Because obviously this
was
originally...
We've been murdering people for a while.
Yeah, and it was originally indigenous land, right? All land in the United States is stolen. Anyway.
Committing crimes, and then they finished with those crimes, and so they started committing some more crimes.
Yeah.
And they're just like, let's make a lake, boat on it real bad, and probably use it to dispose of new crimes.
So divers post videos on YouTube of like creepy submerged boat ruins and other debris. And then this one seasoned diver told CBS 46, which is like a local news station.
Maddie, what was he seasoned with?
That when you're out there, quote, you reach out in the dark and you feel an arm or leg and it doesn't move. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, but why, CNN?
That was CBS 46.
Okay, that's better then.
Local news station.
Sweet. Criminal investigation? Is that happening?
Well, they send in divers from the local fire department whenever somebody goes missing or somebody dies. And then it's like...
Deepwater Dude Discovery Team.
But, I mean, they're still small town communities, kind of, so they have, like...
And usually those divers crash their boat on the way to...
Some of the divers don't come back. That's what they were talking about. That's what the diver was saying on 11 Alive, is that it's really dangerous because there's all that underwater debris and they're looking underneath it, right?
Yeah.
And through it for people that have been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a big story really recently this year, July 2021, of like they found a boy. It's so sad.
Yeah.
A 24-year-old boy.
Oh, that's not a boy.
Well.
That's a man.
He got blown off the boat because it was so windy, and then he got tired and he drowned, and they couldn't find him for 86 days.
Jesus Christ. How big is this lake? You mentioned like 340 acres? I need an exact lake size. Can someone get me an exact lake size?
I did, but...
Yeah, I forgot. No, I was. I was too focused on... I remember your wording. The lake has claimed
X 56,000 acres.
There we are. That's bigger than 340.
And that person actually, their parents... hired private divers because they ran out of resources from public divers from the fire department, so they hired private divers to find their kid, which is so sad. But I think they found him, but it's unconfirmed from the autopsy what happened to him.
They found someone.
Yeah,
that sucks.
It sucks.
This lake sucks.
There's lots of injuries on this lake, so I mean, maybe don't go, whatever.
Okay, don't blame the lake. Go to the lake.
So
you might see a foot.
Not only that, right?
People, or a load of chickens. Or a wolf wagon-sized catfish. This lake rules.
The lake also has a resident ghost, the Lady of the Lake.
Once again.
Very creative name.
Is that Galadriel?
According to the story, a Ford sedan carrying two women careened off a bridge in April of 1958 and tumbled into the lake. The pair was headed to the Three Gables in Dawsonville. Maybe that's a bar.
That sounds great.
But the women never returned. And then this is from a local guy. He's saying the story. Brno Professor Ted Garner. They were traced
from the Three Gables to a gas station nearby. One they left without paying.
Really?
Yeah. There were skid marks along the road near the bridge, and it looked as though the car had been crossed the center line and went off the side of the road.
Police searched for the car in the water, but to no avail.
Can't find the car.
Their disappearance remained a mystery until 18 months later when a body floated up from the water.
Jesus!
As C.A. Simpson was fishing under the Dawsonville Highway Bridge.
That's California Simpson.
Identification was not possible because the body had dentures, but it had a couple of striking attributes.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The body was missing two toes on her left foot and had no hands, Garner said.
That's a classic.
Noting the women on the bridge seemed to be without her hand, as in the ghost.
The lady doesn't have a hand.
The ghost lady has no hands. Then in November of 1990...
Like, could give that ghost a hand.
Construction on the bridge revealed another clue. A blue 1950s Ford sedan with a body inside it was recovered with remnants of a sweater and a slip nearby.
Well, that's handy.
A purse, some sunglasses, and rings, ultimately a watch, helped identify the body. That person's been identified. And after 32 years, that person's family... use that watch to identify her.
Yay.
And then even still, people are still witnessing the ghost, the Lady of the Lake, as she wanders the bridge at night in a blue dress.
A blue dress, eh?
Lost and restless. Huh? And that's all the things I have on Lake Lanier.
I see you've got some more realty.
Oh no, I just took a screenshot of the...
property value?
The properties, I would have it later. In the archives. In the archives of our podcast, because I copy-pasted all the links, and it's for posterity.
Why didn't you have a photo of the foot?
Because it's a video.
You can screen grab it.
Well.
I want to see that foot.
I can show you later, I guess. We can find it.
Yeah. Let's look at feet. Well, that was awesome. That's a bunch of spooky lakes. And spooky
lakes.
Houses and hotels. I guess no houses, just hotels. Various.
There are spooky houses.
And yeah, oh, I'm aware. We live in one.
I do really want to do like a listener provided ghost story episode, so I hope we become famous and people send us ghost stories, because I really want
to
do one.
I don't think you need to be famous for people to send you ghost stories. Just need like four people to just be like, here's a ghost story.
Maybe people that we know will send us stuff. I don't know. Send us stuff.
Maddie deeply desires ghost stories from strangers, so.
Just like cool stories.
If you're listening and you've never seen Maddie's face, she wants to hear a ghost story from you.
Or, I mean, even if you do know me and you have a cool ghost story, that's fine.
But she prefers it if you've never seen her face.
So email that to addstoryteller@gmail.com.
This was fun. I enjoyed this episode a lot. Unlike the others, which I kind of tend to hate, I usually don't enjoy anything about this, but this was great. Thanks, man. I really liked
the ghost biting advice? Boy.
The ghost advice hurt. part of me shriveled and died. I was excited that Zach Bagans was a part of my day today.
Didn't Can we see call that him kinda... Zach Bagginses?
No. No, we can't.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening. Really like doing this, so the more you listen, the more encouraged we are.
It's true. Or like Tinkerbell.
I have fragile self-esteem.
If you don't listen to us, we will die.
About creative projects. But I still do it anyway.
Yeah.
Out of just like this arrogance that I must create.
Yeah, the pressure you put on yourself to just keep going, slogging through every day.
I just feel like it gives life meaning to create things.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. What about afterlife? If you're like a late ghost, no more pressure to create? Do you think they're ghost artists?
Oh, 100% they're ghost artists.
Do they continue to make things, or do they paint the same painting over and over?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now you made me think of a picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah, I did. I tend to do that. I make people think. That's my curse. I make people think of a portrait of Dorian Gray.
We're just meandering on. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.